Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Move On Up by the late, great Curtis Mayfield, born on this day in 1942.
All right, I want to talk to you about the offseason. And who was it, Jeffrey, who said they expected it to be a crazy offseason?
Shams Charania.
Shams, a week ago, said he expected this to be a crazy. Was the word crazy used? Or crazy?
Either it was crazy or the wildest.
The wildest or something like that. Do you expect it league-wide to be the crazy wild offseason, Chris?
I don't know. I don't know if I feel for league wide. Right. I don't know why that's funny. Like,
whatever.
Durant, it seems pretty obvious Durant will move, or they'll try to move Durant. You can't just snap your fingers and move a $50 million contract. It seems pretty likely Durant will move. That's a big name. Obviously, Giannis could move. We'll see what happens there. But those are two pretty big names. You've got luxury tax stuff, you know, all that's going to be a concern for some teams. Boston's a team that, with Tatum out for the year, is likely to try to shed some salary. And that could end up having some major meaningful players move. And then who knows? It's sort of easy in the wake of a loss. You know, we go through this every time a team loses.
Right.
Like, you know, this existential crisis. Like, you know, so could Cleveland, like, you know, break it up? Or could the Grizzlies break it up? Or could New York break it up? I think maybe. I think people hear things in the national media, but sometimes it's echo chamber stuff that's not really true. Frankly, I think that's been the case with some Grizzly stuff in the last few months. And sometimes it's things that, like, is true, but ends up not happening. And so I think it's, you know, it's hard to say definitively.
Yeah. Obviously, if Giannis and KD move, that's a pretty newsworthy offseason. And then, as you point out, like, some of these things are related. Like, Giannis could go to New York, I suppose, and Karl Anthony Towns could move. So, lots of things could happen there. Is the Celtics, you know, can they get off of Drew Holiday? Do they want to, you know, like, but let's take the ones at the top, because the news that emerged sort of either yesterday or over the weekend was Doug Smith of the Toronto Star said that there is mutual interest between Giannis and Toronto over at the betting markets. This has moved Toronto to the most likely.
No.
Is that not true?
It changed their odds drastically.
Changed their odds. The most likely still Milwaukee, right?
Plus 105. So that's not a Vegas favorite. That's the betting favorite at plus 105. The Spurs are at plus 470. Rockets,
Go ahead.
The betting stuff's meaningless.
I know.
We often went through this with the Jimmy Butler. People think, they know something. They're reacting to public information and people are betting and whatever.
Right.
It's completely meaningless on the gambling stuff. I do think, and I've been saying Toronto from the jump to the degree that I've talked or written about this, and I have written about it some. Like, to me, Toronto is one of the teams that makes the most sense. I had them very high when I did that list of, like, likelihood. I think they were in my second group. And in the second group, they're one of the teams I think I pointed to a little bit more firmly. And I have no intel whatsoever. Partly is that is the knowledge I have of the Masai Ujiri Giannis relationship, his attempts in the past to acquire him. But also just looking at the ability to put together a deal and thinking through the logic of why you would want to do so, it all kind of lines up. Given the way the East, how open the East seems, there's enough talent there in Toronto that you could probably make a Giannis deal and feel like you have enough talent left over that when you put it with Giannis, I don't know if I believe that team would be a contender, but you could talk yourself into it. And there's a deal to be made there. To me, I feel like the deal would need to include Scotty Barnes if you're Milwaukee, and if Toronto, you don't want to include Scotty Barnes. But I think that's the deal to be made. It's Scotty Barnes and draft picks for Giannis. If both sides wanted to do it, that's a deal to be done.
So if you did that, what would be left for Toronto around Giannis?
Well, they just traded for Brandon Ingram,
right?
You know, and so they got Brandon Ingram, who's a 20-point scorer. Whether you like him or you don't, and I don't much, he is a 20-point scorer. You've got a true center in Jakob Poeltl, so Giannis doesn't have to defend all the centers. And then, you know, we'll see who else would be in the deal with Barnes, because it wouldn't be just Barnes, but it wouldn't be all these people. So you have Emmanuel Quickley, who's like a on-ball guard, who's a scorer. You've got R.J. Barrett, who, again, sort of like Ingram, like him or not, he's a 20-point scorer in the league. And you have other pieces. They also have a top 10 pick, which probably would be in the trade if there were a trade. So if you're doing Scotty Barnes and a top 10 pick and then a couple future picks, I mean, that's a pretty good deal, you know?
Right. And it's obviously a place that a lot of players don't want to necessarily play in Toronto, but Giannis is a cosmopolitan dude and you feel like it might be a fit there. It also feels like...
Plus, Toronto has done this before with Masai Ujiri. Right. They went out and traded for Kawhi Leonard. So you have a little bit of proof of concept there, too.
Yeah. It does feel like if the goal were simply to maximize your return, that there are teams that could do better than that, right? But some of this will be driven by Giannis. It feels like a compromise. You want to get a fair return. Milwaukee will want a fair return, but it doesn't, you know, it feels like if Giannis really wants to go to Toronto as opposed to Houston or San Antonio, it does feel like that. Like it's one of those where it's a delicate situation. Don't you think that he will partly drive this? Yeah.
Any Giannis trade, even if it's not a three-team trade, will be at minimum a three-component trade. It'll be Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis and the team trading for Giannis. There'll be three parties to the trade. And so, I do not believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo will be sent against his will to some place that he does not accept being. I mean, in theory, that can be done, you know, by the rules of the NBA. But in practical terms, I don't think that's happening, both because of how important, how powerful Giannis is, how much he means, and then also, frankly, the level of respect between Giannis and the Bucks and the relationship there. I guess so. It's just not going to happen. I would still bet against him being dealt. I think he'll... If I had to pick an outcome, my outcome would be that he'll stay in Milwaukee. But I've always thought Toronto, for all the focus on OKC, Houston, San Antonio, who I think have been focused on them for a good reason, I think OKC is now much less likely. And so, like, Houston and San Antonio do, from a distance, still make more sense than anyone else. But there are those teams in the East, and to me, Toronto's the front of the list in terms of, like, you know, to me, the sort of under the radar. Like, I also like Detroit as a possibility, but you add the relationship stuff there. Like, the Detroit thing sounds like something that I think makes sense, whereas the Toronto thing sounds like something that could actually happen.
If he stays in Milwaukee, what are they faced with? What do they have? What are their challenges?
They're probably not going to be very good next season. If Giannis just carries the team, which he might.
Dame is out, right.
Because Dame is out, it'll be a transition year. They'll be taking a gap year with Giannis on the team. I mean, kind of, more than likely. I mean, maybe they'll still be good enough to make the playoffs and you don't get the fruits of that. But I mean a gap year in the sense that they will be transitioning the roster. it will be a transitional year for the roster. It'll be like the last year of Dame, and like you probably won't have Brooke Lopez back, and you've already dealt Chris Middleton. It will be a process of trying to like clear out guys so you can have some flexibility to add new guys with Giannis probably a year later.
Yeah, it's tougher to do that gap year when you've got Giannis holding things up in terms of the in terms of the, you know, making sure that you're mediocre, and in the East in particular, hell, you may still be a playoff team or a play-in team. So yeah, that seems to make sense. All right, couple other things I wanted to get into. We talked about yesterday when you were driving back from Chicago. Two of the lessons of this finals. And for Memphis, and I wanted to get to you at four. That story went up yesterday. People can read it at the Daily Memphian. But the third lesson was management trumps market. Explain.
Yeah, that doesn't mean market's irrelevant or market is not a factor that influences the success of franchises, because it does. But good management in a quote-unquote bad market is better than bad management in a good market in the NBA. And I think that's become increasingly true given the new collective bargaining agreement and given the more onerous penalties for higher spending. Like, the new CBA was designed to close the gap in spending in terms of player payroll spending, not other kinds of spending, but in terms of player payroll spending. It was meant to push up the lower spending teams and even more so depress the higher spending teams. And there will always be a gap, but the more that gap closes, the more that good management is going to be the deciding factor on what teams are better or not. And then obviously luck is the biggest thing of all, but you know, I'd say luck one, management two, market three, and then in terms of your factors. But the ability to just, you know, to maximize your spending is going to be more and more important as the gap in the spending decreases. And I think we've seen the Thunder are the absolute masterclass maybe ever just about in terms of management. But the Pacers are low-key and are really a testament to that, too.
It feels like even if you can assemble a colossal killer team, and even if you pay into the first or second apron, your shelf life is dramatically curtailed, because you don't want to do that for long, and you don't want to do that when you start to ebb at all. Like, for example, Boston... probably, if you're just trying to win, what makes sense is to keep everybody, right? If there weren't second aprons and things, you just keep everybody, and then you'd return to full health. And instead, they're like, we're not going to pay at this level when the punishment is this severe, and we're not going to win. And so you have these short stays at the top. Denver obviously had a very short stay at the top. That was purely money driven, wasn't it? I mean, it felt
that's partly the different story of not having these repeat teams and having sort of these new champions every year. I think that it's going to be more and more like you're having two or three guys you're keeping together. I mean, Denver has had that with Jokic and Murray, you know, whatever. And there's going to be roster churn. So that's part of it. There's going to be roster churn around a tight core. And how well can you churn? How well can you keep coming up with good new players who are cheaper than the players you're letting go because they've gotten too expensive? So I think that's part of it. And then how well can you avoid the roster churn just because you like lock in really good players on long-term deals, you know? And so the Thunder are bringing everybody back next year, you know? And so there's some of that, you know, when you get – you know, Aaron Naismith on a multi-year deal and your Andrew Dimhard's on a multi-year deal and you've gotten guys locked up on good deals, you can sort of avoid some of the churn. And so, like, when you look at the Thunder and the Pacers and compare them to, like, some of the teams they've beaten, like, you know, the Wolves and the Knicks most recently, and look at, like, the quality of, like, the guys who are on the floor as the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth guys, you know? It's just there's a real difference there.
Is there a common theme between how these two teams were built? Or I mean, literally, it wasn't just fabulous drafting, draft 1, 2, 3 and the whatever with neither of these teams. Is it that it's trades and it's shrewd drafting lower in the draft?
It's a mix of all the elements for both, but in slightly different variations. The Pacers are not built on like high draft picks at all. There's not a single guy on that team, at least not in the starting lineup, who was a top 10 pick like for anybody ever. Like Siakam was like a late first round pick for the um, for the Raptors. Now, the Oklahoma City did get the jump up in the lottery and get Chet at number two.
Yep.
You know, they did benefit from that in one sense. They've been a little bit more draft-oriented in that, you know, you pluck Jalen Williams, you know, with a later pick, whereas the Pacers traded for Siakam and Halliburton, and Naismith, I think, was a trade. You know, they find Andrew Nimhard with a high second-round pick. You know, it's a mix of stuff, even free agency with the Thunder with Isaiah Hartenstein. They sort of played like all three notes, like the draft, trade, and free agency in sort of different measures. But they found value. I think the key is finding value finding things in all three veins that bring back more value than what's the anticipated or expected value, right? So whether that's a guy outperforming his draft position, a guy who becomes better for you after you trade for him or after you sign him, that kind of thing. The only example of any of these where I can think of where, like, a player was acquired fully formed, like Siakam was that, but they got him without giving up all that much. It was a good trade. But he'd already made an All-NBA team. And then Caruso was Caruso when they traded for him. But again, like, you know, you make good deals for those guys.
So if management trumps market, how are Grizzly fans to feel about that? I almost feel like because the Thunder exist and because they're another small market, it is almost an unfair, like it makes the Grizzlies management, which I think has fundamentally been good and made good decisions, certainly in drafting. And as you point out at the margin, like people are like, well, why couldn't we be them? Well, sure. Like literally it is the best of all the teams in the league in, you know, as sort of a legendarily magnificent performance by Sam Presti. Everyone can't be the single best at this and you can still be pretty darn good. I don't know. How should Grizzlies fans feel about the state of management?
The Grizzlies have, if we're being frank about it, by any measure, like a bottom three market in the NBA. And like they won 48 games last year, and then before the gap year, they finished second in the West. Before that, they finished second in the West. When they had to blow up the grit and grind Grizzlies and go into the wilderness lasted like 2 years. They've been in the playoffs more than half the time since they've been in Memphis. Like the Grizzlies have outperformed their market on the court.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, Chris, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. I don't think that people... I think because the Thunder exist, people see the failings and they're hyper-focused on the failings. But it is interesting. This extends beyond Zach Kleiman, because what Chris Harrington said is that since the Grizzlies have arrived here, we have been fundamentally spoiled in terms of you never had the 12 years being out there just stinking, right? Like, now some of it was luck. Like, one of the reasons your stay in the wilderness was so short was because you jumped up and got Ja.
Yep.
Like, some of it was luck. Oklahoma, somebody jumped up and got Chet Holmgren. But fundamentally, yes, people would like them to be better if their trades had been better. That's the weakness, right? You wish their trades had been better. But fundamentally, this team, their management is better than their market. And that is, I think is pretty indisputable. All right. We got Fish on Friday coming up next. If you are selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Flexible freeze, no upfront cost. It'll let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. But I'm just suggesting you go ahead and sit down and talk to Josh Hysaw, and you will see what I see. Among other things, he will make an instant cash offer for your home if that's the way you want to do it. And that way you don't have to fix up your home, get it ready for showings, all of that stuff. He'll come out and he'll give you an instant cash offer, full market value of your home, and you can move on with it. You got 4 months, by the way, and hand over the keys as well. It's Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. It is the Jeff Dawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is, of course, the author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for excellence in business writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. When I was at the light bulb depot, Charles, that turned out the folks there are big listeners of 92.9 and the Jeff Calkins Show. They particularly singled out that Fishman segment. Really like that Fishman segment. And the other thing is, Charles, I have to say this. One of the reasons that we here at the Jeff Calkins Show have such crushing ratings is that our streaming numbers are massive. And it occurs to me that that could be because of your friend Mark in Arizona and your brother in Boston and your other brother in Boston. And you, it could be the incredible, the national audience that is streaming, plus the people at the light bulb place. It's all because of the appeal, the draw, like moths to a light, of the great Charles Fishman.
I think of myself as a light in challenging times. I wanted to revisit yeah. something
yeah.
that a slander, an actual slander of me.
Oh.
Yeah. Of me, it was you and John Martin.
Yeah,
saying I'm not funny.
Yeah,
saying I'm not funny.
No, no.
I think you should just do a poll. I think you should do
who is
a
funnier?
9 poll. Is Fishman funnier than John Martin? Don't do that poll.
No, don't do that one. You're going to get crushed.
That would be embarrassing.
No. I. It is true, Jeffrey. You recall this? It was when Roy Wood. We really bumped. John Martin for Roy Wood, who's a professional comedian, in fairness. So he should be funnier than all of us. And we were discussing who's funny and who's not. And somewhere in passing, it was suggested that you are funny. I said, he's not funny.
The third funniest person on the air. And then you bumped me. I think it could be subliminally.
That's why I led with such a glowing introduction. Maybe I was just sucking up.
I think I'm consistently wry.
You're not wry. You're not wry. You're over the top.
I'm not wry?
No. Huh? Jeffrey D, is he wry? I'm wry.
Yeah. I think I'm the wryest.
You think you're the wryest? Yes, well, maybe we're in a wry competition here. I don't know. I think Fishman, yeah, no, you're funny in your own, in a little funny way. Stop getting better.
There were literal crickets there.
You know what? As is usual at this time.
If you have to say you're funny,
morning,
yeah. What? Uh huh.
And now I'm thinking about rye bread. I think I'm the only person I know
who would choose
who likes rye bread. That's on brand. Do you like rye bread?
No, but I'm a Gentile.
Yeah, don't Jews like rye bread better than Gentiles?
On brand. I hadn't even thought of that.
Don't you think that's true?
I sometimes see a loaf of rye at the grocery store or the Jewish deli, and I buy it. And I am literally the only, I don't know if even my children, my father, this is on brand, my father loved rye bread. Rye bread is one of those things.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
To fall into this category.
Yeah.
When I haven't had rye bread in 6 months, it just tastes great. Cheerios are the same way
about sex.
You're the same way about sex.
Never mind. In sex, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, my God.
6 months
Tuesday
is about,
morning,
six
man,
months is about
going?
As far enough to go without rye bread. I'll say that, right? You know,
But what's interesting is that when
I say you should eat rye bread at least once a week, basically, you know, in a happy household, in a happy home.
Uh-huh. You immediately thought of sex.
I did hear once in 6 months, and you know, that's a cliche. I'm a newlywed now,
you
Charles.
Are a newlywed.
I'm a newlywed. So never mind. Is rye bread? Is rye? Reuben is on rye. Is a Reuben? Is a Reuben on rye?
Well, a classic Reuben is on rye.
Yeah. What do you mean no?
Sauerkraut? But yes, you're right. I said yes, but it has sauerkraut. I don't like Reubens because of the sauerkraut part. But I gotta say, I'm kind of being cheerful about this. You might even say it's not funny, good humored. But we're off the rails. This is not. These things are not.
All right,
let's talk about
something really funny. Ukraine and the attack on Russia. This past weekend, the surprise attack, the Trojan horses, whatever you want to call it, the incredibly innovative, if not hilarious, attack by Ukraine on Russia.
Well, what do you want to know? This was kind of amazing.
The people. I think most people might have, if you sort of keep up with the world news.
News at all.
Tell us
the big.
It feels like the Ukrainians are getting their ass kicked now, I'll be honest, like broadly speaking, right? And so every little victory for freedom, justice, and the Ukrainian way, I applaud. And this was unquestionably a victory for truth, justice, and the Ukrainian way, right?
Well, so on the ground, Russia has reclaimed a part of Russia, the Kursk region, that Ukraine had taken.
Right.
So there are places literally at the front where people are fighting, where soldiers are on the ground, literally with artillery, killing each other every day.
Not funny.
In those fights, that's funny?
No, not right funny. There, no, funny. No, I said not funny. Yeah, not funny. In fairness, not I wanted funny. To correct the record. Yep.
And it appears Ukraine is being pushed back in some of those arenas. On Sunday, and in the last 2 weeks, in defiance of President Trump saying to Vladimir Putin, literally, stop the madness, stop the killing. Donald Trump has, you know, in his preferred fashion, using Truth Social, screamed at Vladimir Putin. And in response, Vladimir Putin in the last 2 weeks has launched two of the heaviest bombing nights in the whole 3-year war against Ukraine, reviving this effort to send missiles and bombs right into Kiev and other Ukrainian cities. On Sunday, Ukraine attacked 4 Russian air force bases,
yep,
including air force bases that are literally completely on the opposite side of Russia from Ukraine, 3,000 miles to the east. How did Ukraine attack those bases? They used drones. The drones had been smuggled into Russia in advance by Ukrainians or Ukrainian sympathizers. Then the drones were hidden in shipping containers, and I love this, in manufactured homes, in house trailers. And the drones were armed with explosives that were also smuggled into Russia. Ukraine said the operation took 18 months. So we're talking about they started the smuggling operation in January of 2024. And then they positioned the shipping containers on truck beds within 3 or 4 miles of 4 critical Russian Air Force bases, from which the planes...
Because the drones could not have flown there all up from Ukraine.
Drones,
and so you had to get a launching
3,
point. Yeah, you got to get a launching point
drones,
closer to the bases.
Right. These kind of military drones might have a flying time of 2 or 3 hours at best, right? And whatever, you know, they're going 60 miles an hour. But this... And the truck drivers who delivered them have been interviewed by Russia, and they were Russians. They were just like, this is a delivery. Take it over there. Then... everybody from Ukraine who helped with this operation inside Russia was evacuated from Russia, and then the lids on the shipping containers and the lids on the house trailers were opened by remote control, and the drones flew out. There were 117 drones attacking 40 military bases, so that's about 30 drones per base. Each drone had its own pilot back in Ukraine. All 117 operated by an individual person. And they, according to Ukraine, they took out 41 of Russia's basically 120 heavy bombers. Russia hasn't confirmed 41. There's video of more like 12 to 20 being seriously damaged. These are the equivalent of the American B-52s, the American B-1s, and the American B-2s. These are not just the, these are the planes that Russia uses to launch missiles at Ukraine every night. But the planes are heavy lift, and they don't need to leave Russia. They approach the border, launch their missiles across, and go back to their bases. So deep in 3,000 miles inside Russia, Ukraine was able to destroy a key part, not just of the Russian military effort in Ukraine. These are the bombers that Russia would use to deliver nuclear weapons in an all-out nuclear war.
Okay. One of the things, though.
Final point before you ask questions.
Yeah.
They don't make them anymore. Russia doesn't make any of these planes anymore. So the planes they make now that are bombers don't have this kind of heavy lift capability. So this was a devastating blow and also a blow guaranteed to make everybody think, what's in that shipping container? What's on the back of that truck? If the Ukrainians can attack a heavily guarded Air Force base 3,000 miles inside Russia, they could attack the Kremlin. They could attack
the one of the things, though, that when you were we were talking about this off the air, that a point you made was, okay, great victory, Ukraine. That's wonderful. It also suggests the vulnerability of everyone everywhere, including the United States. If once upon a time it required actual jets flying into the World Trade Center to bring down the World Trade Center and this incredibly horrifying operation, but involved operation. If now literally, I mean, this is a great victory for Ukraine, but like you do wonder, if the evil equivalents of the Ukrainians were taking aim at the United States, it does suggest our vulnerability as well, or everybody's vulnerability to everything because of drone technology.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I think this was a huge moment in warfare. The whole war in Ukraine has been a huge moment. In fact, because drones, this is the first time the drones have been at the heart of how to do this. This is like the invention of the airplane, the invention of the tank. These planes are like they're supposed to inspire fear. They're awesome. When the B-52s flew over Vietnam, part of the point was psychological warfare. We just had a country take out the equivalent of the B-52s with these little rotocopters, you know? So it is a rewriting of strategic warfare. And I agree with you. Think how paranoid Russia probably is right now. There have been attacks by drones in Russia during the course of the war very regularly on key command centers, military bases. They love attacking ammunition dumps, fuel dumps. You blow up an ammunition dump, you do a lot of damage. And so Russia's to some degree on guard. Think how open our society is. Think how open all of Europe is. This kind of vulnerability is going to rewrite the rules of war. There was, in the wake of this, someone imagined what the war over Taiwan would be like if China released swarms of drones in the middle of the South China Sea to attack American military forces that were trying to defend Taiwan. So this is an incredibly complicated, new, important new development. I think Ukraine under attack, Ukraine is manufacturing 4.5 million drones a year, as the heart wow. of its military
defense system.
Think about that.
That's incredible.
Right. That's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
People may not know this. Charles sends me a list of possible topics. And today he said, order up to me, which is normally if I do the order slightly differently, I'll be called out on it. But one of the I want to make sure we get to this, Charles, because it sounds almost like a child's riddle, a joke or whatever. And this is, what did baby Tyrannosaurus eat? What did, Charles, baby Tyrannosaurus eat?
Well, now I'm worried. I think a listener will. I'm worried that this story is so interesting to me that we once talked about it before.
I don't think so. But,
okay, you're good at remembering. But they excavated a baby Tyrannosaurus up in Alberta, Canada. Now, a baby Tyrannosaurus weighed 700 pounds. I think a full-grown Tyrannosaurus weighed 10,000 pounds. But I wouldn't want to meet a quote-unquote baby Tyrannosaurus that weighed 700 pounds and they could run 40 miles an hour.
I'll tell you this, though. Before they weighed 700 pounds, they probably weighed 200 pounds. You know?
Right. At 200 pounds...
Or before that, 100 pounds. I don't believe, unless they came, out fully formed at 700 pounds, and that's a hell of a birth story. Anyway, so they excavated this little... Oh, excuse me. Hold on, sucker. This little sucker. Did you get that?
Whoa.
Jeffrey
whoa,
got
man.
It. Excuse me. Really... Jeffrey bleeped it out. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, this little
you
sucker.
Really?
This little sucker. Excavated okay. that little sucker. And what did they find?
That little 700
oh my goodness.
Baby Tyrannosauruses ate differently than adults. And this, the fossil of this baby Tyrannosaurus, and I don't quite understand how this would happen. The Tyrannosaurus fossil was found with the stomach contents intact. Now we're talking about fossils. So it's the bones of the
right.
baby Tyrannosaurus,
okay.
and then the bones of what it ate.
Yeah.
And if you're a
chicken nuggets,
chicken nuggets, drumsticks. There were four drumsticks in the stomach from two different birds that had been eaten in two different meals. Like the Tyrannosaurus had breakfast, then it had lunch, then it was killed and immediately fossilized somehow. So it ate and then a flood killed it and buried it in mud, a volcano, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And all it ate were the legs of the two dinosaurs. There was nothing else. So it raced to track down, to catch the prey. It was another smaller kind of dinosaur called
Mom and dad caught it and just gave him the drumsticks.
No, they don't.
They don't think so.
I don't think there was that. We don't really know, like, whatever, how many, what do we got? 50 Tyrannosaurus skeletons worldwide, and imagine if you had to figure out all of human society based on
right with Jeffrey's kidsy right yeah right we don't want to yeah right he has two kids right whatever okay I right. want to move on I don't want to spend any more time
was,
with this
kind of, it's kind of interesting and the paleontologists think that the dinosaurs that had their legs removed were still alive, and so. So then they were left for,
and that gave
predators.
Us like penguins or something. Okay. Layoffs at, we got layoffs at Microsoft and layoffs at Disney. This doesn't sound good.
Well, we sort of have made a commitment to these white, to track these white collar layoffs. The layoffs at Microsoft, they both come on the heels of laying off people just a few weeks ago. Microsoft announced 7,000 layoffs 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, it filed to lay off 305 more people. Here's what's interesting. 281 of those are being laid off from LinkedIn. Do you use LinkedIn?
It's funny. I just had an account in the last like month, and I don't really have an account. I just needed to read someone else's. So you can go to LinkedIn and you'll find nothing about me. I don't use LinkedIn. I'm not on LinkedIn. I don't need jobs. I've had the same jobs basically my whole life. But you're on LinkedIn, right?
I use LinkedIn as a reporting tool because it's remarkable what people post essentially their resumes on.
Right, exactly.
LinkedIn.
That's so why I needed to read someone's resume, which is why I got my account.
What other jobs people have had, where they've worked, when they graduated from college, if they include the date. Sometimes people do, sometimes people don't. I always forget that Microsoft owns LinkedIn. And they bought LinkedIn in 2016 within $5 billion, within $5 billion. How much did Microsoft pay for LinkedIn? Any idea?
They paid within $5 billion. They paid $112 billion for LinkedIn.
Yeah, you're just imagining airy numbers. They paid $26 billion for LinkedIn.
Well, I figured within five, it had to be a pretty big number to give me within five.
$26 billion. It was crazy.
I don't keep track of money really very well.
$26 billion is a lot. That's a lot for a company, for a startup company. How does LinkedIn make money?
What is it worth now?
I don't know.
Are there ads on LinkedIn?
There are ads on LinkedIn that bring in $6 billion a year, and as we know from Fish on Friday on Tuesday, this digital ad revenue for places like Walmart and Amazon and LinkedIn, it doesn't cost them anything. Right. That's almost $6 billion.
How much did
profit. You
say of Walmart's? Do you recall that from last week? How much Walmart made from their ads on their site? Or what percentage of their income? Do you remember that?
Walmart's membership and ad revenue was 25% of total profit. So you're talking about revenue of billions of dollars a year. I think the ad revenue at LinkedIn is bigger than the ad revenue at Walmart. Walmart's just stepping into this. This is how LinkedIn pays its bills, but you can also pay to be a member of LinkedIn and get certain privileges. $6 billion in profit, and LinkedIn has 19,000 employees. LinkedIn
or
is
did.
A huge piece of right. Well, now it has 18,800. that's why. And then layoffs at Disney. Disney laid off several hundred creative people yesterday. Disney's in the middle of this continuing TV transformation. They own, again, it's like Microsoft owning LinkedIn. Disney owns ESPN. They just announced the big streaming package where you can
just get ESPN.
Your cable and just get ESPN. And the theory is that ESPN will become like Netflix or Hulu. That it's actually Disney owns Hulu too, but that ESPN might well be spun off separately. But several hundred layoffs at Disney on top of
before I get to the George Clooney story, April home sales also not great.
April home sales were terrible. April home sales
really.
April is one of the biggest home sale months of the year. It's when the big selling season starts. Spring comes. People are thinking about if I'm going to relocate, have a new job, take a promotion, whatever. I need to move now so that my kids are in school in the right place in September. April home sales in April, home sales in April fell from March to April, which is very unusual. They fell 0.5%. And April's sales were the lowest in any April going back to April 2009, which was in the middle of the Great
Recession. Is there a theory?
Well, the theory is very simple. It's the theory we all know. Prices went up after the pandemic. People essentially are greedy. Zillow says my home is worth this. This is what I want. And mortgage rates at 6% and 7% make what used to be a $2,000 a month mortgage.
But that's been the state for years now. Like, so why are they getting worse? Yeah. Like, we've been stuck in that place. People don't want to move because they don't want to give up their old interest rates, et cetera, their old mortgage.
I mean, yeah. 0.5% worse. 0.5% is not. What's interesting is that's not unlocking. We got to do Clooney. Go ahead.
Let's what's happening George with George Clooney.
Has this incredible play on Broadway, Good Night and Good Luck.
Yep.
I wanted to take my wife up to see it. He's not. He doesn't do live Broadway theater very much. It's a play about the face-off between the legendary journalist and broadcaster Edward R. Murrow, who helped bring down the demagogue Joe McCarthy. Clooney plays Murrow. You can't get tickets, and the cheapest tickets were $300 a pair. It's going to be live on TV for free this Saturday at 7 p.m. I think it's the second to last performance. Sunday the play closes on Broadway.
Oh, so they're doing that. They're not. It's not like one of these plays that they are staging for CNN.
No,
telecasting the performance from the stage. I see.
Installing equipment to telecast what the people in the audience will see. This play has been so popular and so well reviewed, 4 Tony nominations, that it is the highest grossing play on Broadway in history. This play. It is guaranteed to be riveting. This is appointment television this Saturday at 7 p.m. on CNN. We're gonna treat it like the Super Bowl. We're gonna get some food.
Well, I'm just gonna try to wind up this segment in this show without dropping another F-bomb. That's what I'm gonna try to do, Charles. Good night and good luck to you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
We'll
good luck to me.
Pennies next week.
Yeah. People can't wait. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson, Jason Fitz scheduled to join their program today. Tim Murray joins me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. I'll be better. I'll try really hard. For now, work is done.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.